Bristol-Myers, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile with Tommy Dorsey and starring Eddie Cantor.
Got a touch of Texas in my talk. Got too much of Texas in my walk. Oh, this place will be my ruin. Hi-ya, yippee and wahooin'. Take me back to New York. Got a touch of Texas in my hair. Got too much of Texas in my hair. Yes, the sand from Amarillo keeps a scratching on my pillow. Take me back to Times Square. For I've seen every part of just what I'm deep in the heart of. Got a touch of Texas in my talk. Got too much of Texas in my walk. Rode a Bronco down in Dallas, so be careful of my callus and take me back, take me back, take me back to New York.
Thank you very much.
Say, Eddie,
yeah.
I understand that you spent New Year's Eve at the Palladium listening to Tommy Dorsey.
Yes, Harry, and did those defense workers really go to town New Year's Eve? You should have seen them. Such extravagance. Nothing was too good for them. All drinking that priceless beverage.
Champagne.
Coffee, Harry. Oh, coffee man. They were drinking. And, you know, with all those girls, defense workers, coming to the Palladium in overalls, it was very confusing.
Why?
Well, I danced with a man for a half hour before I found out my mistake, Harry.
Well, how did you find out it was a man?
No muscles.
Oh, I don't know. Everything happens to you.
And listen to this, Harry. I walked up to one lady welder, and I said, may I have this dance, please? Would you mind dancing
with
me?
Why was your voice vibrating like that?
I just got through dancing with the river, the Harry. That's what happened. You know, kid, while I was dancing with that welder, I did the most amazing steps. I spun around four times, did a triple somersault, and flew 8 feet in the air.
Well, you? How could you do that?
I backed into her blowtorch. Oh!
What a place for a hot foot. Yeah.
And dancing with those defense workers almost ruined me. One pulling my arm, another pulling my leg. Harry, I'd have gone to pieces if it wasn't for one thing.
What's that?
After each dance, the assembly line put me together again.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, what are you laughing at?
Well, they didn't do a very good job, did they?
They did so, Harry.
All right.
The women who work in our defense plants do a terrific job. One gal I met has been building flying fortresses, and now she has something else to be proud of. A little one is on the way.
Oh. A little one?
She's expecting a P-38 in June. You know, Harry, I never asked you up until now.
What?
Where did you go New Year's Eve, Harry?
The Palladium. I saw you.
You did?
Yeah.
Let me look at the first page again. I want to see what I said.
Shame on you.
Why are you saying shame for?
Well, the idea. At midnight, dancing with that gorgeous blonde, cheek to cheek.
Harry, that happened to be my aunt.
Your aunt?
Yes. I have aunts.
The way you danced that rumba, you must have aunts. Now, I can't imagine a young girl like her falling for an old guy like you.
Harry Bonzel, if I'm such an old guy, how come when she first saw me, she took me for 25?
Oh, well, maybe that was all the money you had with you.
Oh, he's going to lay an egg in a minute. Let me tell you something, Mr. Von Z.
Yes?
I went to the Palladium to pay my respects.
Well, you better start respecting Eddie, because here he is. Tommy Dorsey.
Yeah. Little Tommy Dorsey can blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow.
And Cantor's in the corn.
I'll forgive you, Tommy, because I did have a swell time at the Palladium New Year's Eve. Did you see me dancing?
Was that dancing? I thought you had rigor mortis that set in.
Tommy, how can you say that?
Eddie, you look like Father Time having his last fling.
No. That is one of the dirtiest remarks I've ever... No, listen, Tommy. Now I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I brought that large party over to see you.
Well, thanks, Eddie. But why did you insist that I play my trombone right where you're sitting?
Do you know a better way to blow a check off a table? And, brother, you and your boys can blow. Gosh, I noticed that the eyes on most trumpet players protrude a little. You've been playing the trombone, and your eyes bulge, too.
Say, Eddie.
Yes?
How long have you been blowing into a tuba?
Well, let me tell you. Look, will you do me a favor? Don't be the comedian. You just play, will you? Just go on breaking record. And you have broken record. You've broken the records here at the Palladium in Hollywood. You've broken the record at the Paramount in New York and theaters in Chicago and in Boston.
But, Eddie, there's just one more record I'd like to break.
Yeah? Which one is that?
The one where you sing, potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper.
Hey, Daddy doesn't sing bad. You know, I'll fix you in a minute. Oh, Cookie Fairchild.
Yes, Master.
Cookie, I want you to meet Tommy Dorsey, a truly great musician.
Tommy Dorsey? Fooey. What's he got that if I had it, would I be working for you?
Quiet, you.
Hello, Cookie.
Cookie, fooey. Mr. Dorsey, there is no room on this program for two orchestra leaders when only one of them has talent, and I'm thanking you, ladies and gentlemen, for your applause in advance. Good night.
Here, Cookie. Don't you like Tommy Dorsey?
I like him like my own brother, of which I haven't got any, except two sisters who I hate. Dorsey, fooey. Fooey.
What's that for?
Your brother Jimmy, I hate him too.
Oh, Tommy, forget Cookie. He's just jealous. You know, he was with me when I saw you at the Paramount last year in New York, you know? Gosh, you really drove those swing fans crazy. They were dancing on their seats, jitterbugging up and down the aisles, jumping on the stage. Why, even when you finished, you should have seen what happened during the picture.
What?
One guy tried to cut in on Mrs. Miniver. Tommy, I know that you're making a picture out at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, but I think you'd be great opposite glamour girls like Betty Grable or Rita Hayworth.
You really think so?
Sure. Any man who can pucker up like you shouldn't waste it on a trombone. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Dorsey plays now as only Dorsey can play. There Are Such Things, one of his biggest selling Victor records. Plug.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tommy Dorsey. That was swell. And, Tommy, I know you've got to rush back to the Palladium, but there's something I must ask you.
All right, Eddie, if you make it snappy.
Tommy, you've traveled all over the country with your band. Tell me, where'd you find the most beautiful women?
Oh, no, you don't catch me sticking my neck out. Goodbye, Eddie.
Now, wait a minute. Can't you even tell us if there was one girl somewhere who stood out from the rest?
Yeah.
What?
There was a gal at Terminal Island, California.
Oh, well, wait, Terminal Island, that's a naval air station, Tommy. There aren't any women there.
No wonder she looked good to him.
No. On the level, Eddie, she was beautiful. What eyes.
Go on.
What hair.
Go on.
And what a smile.
Oh.
Yeah, what a... Hey, did you see her?
Yeah, well, no, Tommy, but you said she was beautiful, and for my money, a girl can't be beautiful unless she has a lovely smile.
That makes sense, Tommy.
Yes, it does, Eddie. And since a lovely smile can add to anyone's attractiveness, ladies and gentlemen, your smile deserves intelligent care. And about the best care I know is between regular visits to your dentist to faithfully use iPana toothpaste and gum massage. Because healthy gums are mighty important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles. And iPana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to help gums to a healthier firmness. So get a tube of iPana from your druggist tonight or tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of each year, it is our custom to single out the most interesting audience participation programs of the past 12 months. For 1942, our first award goes to...
Us, the People!
Tonight we have as our guest an unfortunate victim of amnesia, loss of memory. For 15 years, this man has been in a mental blackout. It is our hope that we may bring back his memory and restore him to his loved ones. Step up to the microphone, please, a little closer.
Yes, sir, yes.
Now, sir, I realize that you can't remember your last name, but perhaps you can recall your first name.
Oh, sure, yes, of course, sir.
What is your first name?
Gertrude.
Gertrude?
Yes, it is Gertrude.
Gertrude, you must be mistaken. That's a woman's name. Now, wouldn't you like to change it?
Oh, sure, yes, of course.
What would you like to change it to?
Gladys.
Look, mister, I realize that your mind's a complete blank, and you don't know what's going on.
No.
But you shouldn't have a name like Gertrude or Gladys. You should change it to Bill or Frank.
What, and get thrown out of the YWCA?
He doesn't know what's going on. Listen, mister, we'd like to help you. What made you pick women's names? Didn't you ever think of taking a man's name?
Oh, sure, yes, I did. But I got into a lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble,
A lot of trouble. What happened? I got my head banged in, my jaw busted, and my nose stepped on.
What name did you choose?
I don't know. Adolf something.
Well, all right. Mister, our listening audience has heard your voice, and perhaps someone somewhere might be able to identify you.
Yes.
In the meantime, us the people will hold you for 30 days. And if no one calls for you, we'll put you on sale at the rummage counter. Would you like that? Would you?
Oh, yes. Sure. I hope someone wants me. I'm very strong and healthy.
I know.
Yes.
Just a moment.
Yes.
Hello? Us the people. Us speaking. What's that? Oh, you know who this man is.
What did he say?
He belongs to you.
I belong.
You want him right away.
Anymore?
Well, it's fine. Goodbye.
Oh, goody, goody. At last my loved ones have found me. Who was that?
Your draft board.
Oh.
Our next award goes to the program that has solved so many marital problems.
The Court of...
The Court of Domestic Relations. Judge Cantor presiding.
Case 9074. Now, miss, I understand that a slight difference has arisen between you and your husband. Tell me in your own words why this lover's quarrel came about.
My husband is a stinker.
Yep. Please. Please, dear lady, since the dignity of this court must be preserved, I must ask you to refrain from calling your spouse harsh names, even if he is a stinker. Now,
my husband is so unfaithful. Why, yesterday, another woman phoned my husband, George, at Gladstone City.
Please, no names or phone numbers. The identity of our subject must remain secret. Simply describe the woman.
Well, she's 21 years old, blonde, and very beautiful.
What's her name and phone number?
2734, and if a man answers, hang up, it's my husband.
Wait a minute! You're jumping at conclusions, Miss 9074. Married people should learn to trust their mates. I wonder what my wife is doing.
This is different, Judge. If I don't divorce my husband, I'm afraid he'll do me bodily harm.
No.
Why, right now, I'm wearing a bulletproof vest because I found out he followed me here.
Dear girl, divorce is never necessary. Give yourself time to cool off. Again, I say to you, trust your husband. Take off that bulletproof vest.
Well, okay, if you say so. Here.
And so Judge Cantor solves another knotty marital problem. This woman lying at my feet proves that divorce is never necessary. She has cooled off and is getting cooler by the minute. Her worries are over and the husband is free to continue with life, liberty, and the pursuit of the blonde.
And now another award goes to that program where the contestant must answer questions correctly or suffer the consequences. We present Truth or Circumstances.
Our first guest is Mr.
Cyril Vandermeer, Ph.D., A.B., and D.G.
You are a professor?
No, I take vitamin pills.
All right, Mr. Vandermeer, now you understand how truth or circumstances operates. I ask you a question, and if you fail to answer correctly...
Yes?
You get hit in the puss with this strawberry shortcake. Now, ready? Fill in the missing words to this poem. Jack and Jill went up the...
hill...
to fetch a pail of...
H2O.
Correct. Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling... Guess it or get it. Jill came tumbling...
Jill came tumbling... Do you mind if I make a phone call?
Oh, no. Mister, you've got 2 more seconds to guess it or get it. Now, how would you like me to give you a little hint?
Yes, give it to me.
You asked for it. Hey! Continuing with
Ladies and gentlemen, continuing with our radio awards, we come to the program that locates rightful heirs to unclaimed fortunes, presenting Missing Millionaire.
When old Judge Rumpelmeyer passed away recently, he bequeathed to his beloved wife, Rebecca Rumpelmeyer, the sum of $1 million. This fortune remained unclaimed. However, on the very day the benevolent old judge expired, beloved Rebecca also kicked the bucket. I have a gentleman with me now who claims to be their son and therefore the rightful heir to the Rumpelmeyer fortune. What is your name, sir?
Robert Rumpelmeyer.
Robert, where do you live?
At 323 Hollywood Boulevard.
You live at 323 Hollywood Boulevard? But that's a nightclub.
Yeah, I'm a playboy.
I see. Well, sir, if you can prove you're a true Rumpelmeyer, I am authorized to give you $1 million.
$1 million?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, it's a cinch to prove I'm a Rumpelmeyer. Look, here's a photograph of me and my family when I was a little baby.
Hmm. Is that you sitting on the nurse's lap?
Oh, that's my father.
If that's your father, then who is this fellow with the long gray beard?
That's me.
A baby with whiskers? How did that happen?
I was weaned on by Towers.
Well, the picture you gave me seems to authenticate your claim, Rumpelmeyer. You know, you got here just in the nick of time. If you didn't show up to collect this money within the next 15 minutes, it would be forfeited to me.
Oh, goody. Give me my $1 million quick. I only got 10 minutes left.
Right. Now, to prove that everything is on the up and up,
yeah,
I want you to count your money. Here it is.
Thank you.
$1 million in $1 bills.
Oh, gee, thanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now, while we are waiting, we continue on to our next case. Last week in London, England, Sir Humphrey Butts passed away, leaving $4 million to his daughter. Missing Millionaires is proud to announce that we have a claimant here tonight. Madam, tell me, do you claim to be Miss Ina Botts, the beautiful young daughter?
That's very funny, very funny. Say, good boy. Slip me the money, honey.
One moment, please.
Yes. Yeah.
According to these records, Miss Ina Botts was 6 feet tall and weighed 200 pounds. You're only 5 feet tall and weigh 100 pounds. How do you explain that?
Meat shortage. Give me the money, honey.
We must be sure, you know. The will states that the claimant can be identified by a birthmark. Do you have a mole?
Yes, of course.
That's fine. Let me see it.
How dare you!
Look, madam, if you won't identify yourself, perhaps your husband might... My
husband.
What's the matter?
My husband.
Don't cry.
The beast.
Don't cry.
It's such a dog.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Always is driving me crazy.
Yeah, wait a minute. What's wrong with your husband?
In the middle of the night, he's coming home, slapping me like a bass fiddle and singing, Mr. Toe, Vito.
You mean Mr. 5x5?
We got a very small apartment.
Your husband sounds very cruel.
He's such a dog, the dog.
Yeah, wait a minute. Madam, you should not call your husband a dog.
He's a dog, I tell you.
All right.
A dog.
Calm down.
Sit down. Calm down.
Tell me, lady, how many children have you got?
14. 9 Airedales and 5 Cocker Spaniels.
Wait a minute. Will you forget your dogs and tell me how many children you have?
Including my oldest daughter.
Of course. Why shouldn't we include your oldest daughter?
She's such a dog.
Wait a minute. Forget your daughter. Look.
You forget it.
Now, wait a minute. Before we hand over the money, we must be certain you're the rightful heirs. According to the will, you were born on February the 29th. That must have been leap year.
What?
Leap year. What is it that we have every 4 years?
Roosevelt.
Madam, while there are some discrepancies in your story,
yes?
But since there are no other claimants, the money goes to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's right.
You're so sweet.
Yeah.
You're such a sweet kid.
Wait a minute. Now, what do you intend doing with the $4 million?
First, I will go to a beauty shop and make myself beautiful.
Yeah, and what will you do with the rest of the money?
The other $7 I'll put in the bank.
No, all right. Now, go on, madam, and go back to your husband with all the money.
I don't like my husband.
What's the matter?
He's such a dog.
Hey, you what?
You're a dog, too.
Go ahead. Go on. Go.
Say, Eddie.
Yes, Harry.
Let me tell you my idea for a radio program. It would be a highlight of any year.
What is it, Harry?
Well, it's a 15-minute program that'll really be different and a big help to people, too.
Is it a gag program?
No gag.
Musical?
No music.
Well, what are you going to have?
Nothing. There will be 14.25 minutes of absolute silence.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
It would be different, but where does the big help come in, Harry?
Well, that's the other 3/4 of a minute, Eddie. I'll use those 45 seconds to tell people how to feel better, faster.
Well, that is useful. Why do you say, Harry, as if I don't know?
Well, just this. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you wake up in the morning feeling dull and headachy due to the need of a laxative, remember to take Sal Hepatica right away, and you will feel better faster. Because then Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. So you don't have to wait until night to take the laxative you need in the morning. You don't have to go on feeling miserable all day. And here's something else worth remembering about this famous mineral salt laxative.
Sparkling Sal Hepatica also helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tonight or tomorrow.
And any time you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you rely on gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
And now, continuing with Missing Millionaires, we present a young lady who has inherited and possesses a million-dollar voice, Miss Dinah Shore.
When the lights go on again up over the world, and the boys are home again all over the world, and rain or snow is all that may fall from the skies above, a kiss won't mean goodbye, but hello to love. When the lights go on again all over the world, and the ships will sail again all over the world, then we'll have time for things like wedding rings, and free hearts will sing when the lights go on again all over the world.
Gosh, Dinah, when the lights go on again, what a grand place the world will be. When Mom and the whole family can pile into the car on Sunday and drive far out in the country for a picnic.
Yeah, with a basket full of deviled eggs and bread and butter and have a weenie roast.
Yeah, and all the coffee you can drink. Oh.
Gee.
And there'll be the days when our boys can dive into swimming holes instead of foxholes.
And when the kids in those conquered countries can go back to their Sunday schools and learn about kindness instead of hate.
And when the only American bases that will ever again be stolen will be the ones in the baseball park.
Then have time for things like wedding rings, and free hearts will sing when the lights go on again all over the
Dorothy. Good night, everybody. Good night.